This rip of TFTC was brought to you by River. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin. Go to river.com/TFTC and enjoy this episode.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
You freaks know we need to fix our side tables. They're very unsturdy.
Next bull market.
It's always awkward watching the guests, like, try to fix the mic and think it's their problem, but it's really the side table that's the problem.
In the Dude, the studio is awesome, man. I mean, like, it's been a year and a half since I've been back.
Well, I saw the original in Bitcoin Park behind you, way behind you on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to pick up the print.
Oh, rock and roll.
Put it up. You were here a year and a half ago. That went up like 3 months ago.
Hell yeah, man. You're looking good.
So are you, sir. I'm feeling good.
We got a big day. You already jammed out one podcast. You got me, and then you got another podcast after this.
It's going to be a big day. And we got a dinner to go to tonight.
And we got a dinner to go to tonight. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I'm happy you're here.
Thanks, man.
Because I'm in a big white pill mood.
Okay.
These days, and I think you're...
Wait, what's white pill again?
We're going to win.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Optimists. We have the ability. We have the tools. We have the vision. We have the people. We can do this.
100%. Logan, hit that 100% soundboard.
It's happening. I'm not going to lie, Rod. I got in a state where I was just doom scrolling, feeding into the vitriol.
Into the algo,
letting it consume me, piss me off. And then I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, 100%.
Focus on the problems. Just focus on the solutions. You're a big solution-driven individual. That's why I'm happy you're here.
Thanks, man. It's the easiest solution in the world. You wake up and you see your kids. And then you're like, no bad days. This is my friend Harry Sudock likes to say.
No. That's fun. We have a great morning routine.
What is your morning routine?
Boys come, slap me in the face, I get out of bed. I'm 6:37.
Nice.
They're my alarm clock. I've been trying to get up before them, but it's hard. I stay up too late. We make breakfast. We hang out. We wrestle. We're big wrestling.
That's good.
It's a lot of testosterone in the house. A lot of wrestling. And then we're still very frugal. We have one car. The family gets in the car. We drive to the office. Do a little Chinese fire drill. I get out, kiss the boys, kiss the wife, come into the office. It's like, all right, boys, you have a good day.
Hell yeah. And they're going to like now camp or something like that in the summer?
No. Well, my oldest did a swimming boot camp last week. Literal swimming, she's called the swimming Nazi of Austin. Literally dunking 3-year-olds in the water. I didn't go, my wife took care of it, or she took him to the boot camp. It was 5 days last week, and the first day, the swim teacher is like, they're all going to be terrified for the first 2 days. They're going to be crying. It's going to be terrible. You're going to be very stressed out, but I promise you, by day 3, there will be no crying, and by day 5, they will be able to swim, and that's what happened.
So, you know, I have 4 kids, starting from the age of 5 all the way down, and this swim season has been unbelievable. My daughter now can swim, and it is one of the coolest and most rewarding experiences, seeing them go from scared shitless to being so confident and so brave by jumping off now the diving board and then swimming over to you. Yeah. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, we're members of Lifetime down here in Austin. They have a pool that opened up before Memorial Day. And so
nice.
He learned how to swim last week. And so that's the camp. They dropped me off. They went to Lifetime. They're going to go to the pool. But then we're shipping up to the Northeast
this
week for the summer at the beach.
So you're going to go to the summer and then you come back here in what, like August, September for school?
Yeah.
Rock and roll. Man, kids, the best. More kids.
More kids.
More kids.
What's the white pill? Solutions.
Solutions.
You think the world's terrible. People are making bad decisions. You have some kids and you raise them right. You try to raise them right.
Oh, man. There was this quote by C.S. Lewis. It was like, you know, and compounding, and especially compounding interest, is like doing the small things that are good or positive, or doing the small things that are bad or evil. They compound the same way. So if you have bad thoughts, bad actions, they will, even the smallest actions will compound for you, you know, 1 month, a year, 10 years from down the road. But yeah, just try to do good things. A little, move the ball forward every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to come off pretentious or anything, but I'm very happy I looked myself in the mirror. It's like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Feeding into the negativity. Stop it.
Dude, you're killing it. You're Marty Bent. You're a multipreneur. I'm serious. I'm going to boost you up real quick. You have arguably one of the, if not the top Bitcoin media company. You're killing it with TFTC. You and Matt are killing it with RHR. You got 1031. You're on the board of this new recently, or still in the process of merging.
Process emerging
publicly traded mining company. And there's like probably five other things I've forgotten to even mention. And you're a great dad, like, and husband. So, dude, keep killing it. The mindset is the biggest thing. Mindset and just doing small actions every single day.
Yeah, well, let me pump you up now, sir. You're doing incredible things too. I mean, multipreneur, got Bitcoin Park, Pod 256, father, really, and something we should probably dive into, I think, facilitating conversations between builders in Bitcoin in the state of Tennessee. And I would say, having been in the space and seeing people interacting with different state officials over the years, I think the way you're facilitating things in Nashville at Bitcoin Park is incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting because now, you know, you open up Twitter, or open up any of these social media platforms, and you see, I'll say maybe that glass half full, then I'll go maybe on the more pessimistic side. The glass half full, Bitcoin, digital assets, crypto is a talking point in this presidential election, which is pretty gnarly to even think about. You and I have become friends over the last like 6, 7, 8 years. And for for even one candidate to even talk about Bitcoin, or even one legislator to even think about Bitcoin, was like laughable at the time. And now it's, you know, you got Senator Lummis and Senator Wyden sending letters, I think, to the Supreme Court on behalf of and defending FOSS developers, as well as the Samurai developers, you know, that code is speech and that this should be defended, not persecuted, which is just incredibly awesome to see. And especially as you like zoom out and see it from a global point of view, for all its warts and everything, the US is still one of the best places to live, raise a family, and build a business. And so it's interesting now having these conversations with folks. On the pessimistic side, it just seems like the marketing and propaganda engine across all of the crypto digital assets, and I'm nervous because they're saying all the quote unquote right things just to rally maybe a non-voting base to become a voting base, or some group of people just so that they can tweet more and engage more. I just hope those actions are fulfilled. And I think it's just small things, you know, that we can implement that can make a big difference. But for me, I don't get consumed on the national or federal level. You know, I'm long Tennessee. I love Nashville, Tennessee. I think we have one of the best communities to raise a family, to learn, to work, and to be a Bitcoiner. And so if we can make that community vibrant and also the best place to start a business, raise a family, and if you're a FOSS developer, to just write code and be protected. And I even hate saying the word be protected, as if this is like some new novel thing. It's code is speech. So let's just call it a spade. So I'd love to see an attorney general or somebody come out and fully throat it, you know, support that and just say, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but here you go.
Yeah. And think of, talk about like the game theoretical jurisdictional arbitrage, many focus on the international jurisdictional arbitrage, but within the states, like it exists as well. And that's, I mean, we've talked about this many times individually and then on the podcast. Like, I think states are going to lead the way here. I think we've seen states asserting their autonomy over the last 4 years, particularly. And again, not to pump you up too much, but I think the way you're positioning Bitcoin within the state of Tennessee towards Tennessee politicians is very smart. And it's, again, small actions every day.
Yep.
It's not like, I won't say who or what, but like I got invited to a small get together with a presidential candidate. And I was like, you can come, but you have to give us some money.
I know, it's such a joke.
Like it was, it's not what many people probably think. It's another context, not the Trump meeting that's going on, but another politician here, but it's happening. Like the interfacing with the federal presidential candidates is like, all right, you want to come talk and like put your case forward. It's you got to pay to play. But I think what you're doing in Tennessee, focusing on the state and the way you're facilitating the conversations between the industry and the political stakeholders within Tennessee is smart. Multiple touches, low time preference. Like, hey, we're here to learn from you and we're here to be a resource for you as well.
And I'll give them credit in the fact that they're the ones that are proactively reaching out and engaging more and more. And so hopefully we'll see a lot of good things. Yeah. The pay for play and like, hey, make a big contribution and do this or that. Just personally rubs me the wrong way. I think a lot of these politicians are actually really good people, believe it or not. And I do think they have their constituents' best interests. If you think about the alignment of incentives, they should have their constituents' interests in mind. And this is one of those things where, you know, Parker will be here later tonight, gradually then suddenly. They come to our meetups and they see the eclectic community, the vibrant community that we've built that's local and global. And they're like, what is going on here? Nashville, Tennessee. And as someone was like, oh, I want to do a Bitcoin park here. Or I want to do a Bitcoin park there, or maybe in the commons or whatever. And I'm like, I think I couldn't even start Bitcoin park again. If I went to a new city or I started from ground zero again, no way, no shot in hell. I do think a lot of people can make a better Bitcoin park and there's a number of ways to improve it, but I don't think they can make it again. You needed and I hope to God nothing like COVID ever happens again in my lifetime, but you know, you needed something like that. You needed something where it gets Marty Bent, his family uprooted from the Northeast to come to Texas. You need something where people are like, you know what? All my freedoms are pretty much manipulated or taken away in the areas that I used to, I grew up in. I need to move. And then there is more people coming to the Nashvilles, the Austins, the Floridas and all these other places. So, I think there's a unique opportunity. And this is for the meetup organizers out there that are awesome. Continue to build, continue to host your meetups, continue to engage in good faith with a lot of these folks. Cause I think the way you kicked it off at the beginning with your white pilling, we're going to win. Yeah. And it's not even going to be funny. We're going to win so bigly. And that when we say we, I mean, literally all American citizens and the entire global population is going to win bigly. When we was like, it's not us versus them. It's literally every single human being benefits from Bitcoin.
Yeah.
This episode was presented by River. River is the best, most secure place to buy Bitcoin in the United States. Go to river.com/TFTC, set up an account today. You'll be able to DCA into Bitcoin without paying any fees. You'll be able to give people Bitcoin via River links. You'll be able to send and receive Bitcoin over the Lightning Network. And you'll be able to set limit orders. If you want to buy Bitcoin at a particular price below or above where it is now, you can set orders to buy Bitcoin when it hits that price. Go to river.com/TFTC and set up your account today. This trip was also brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is building a financial services platform for a Bitcoin standard. They have over 7,000 clients that are securing over 90,000 Bitcoin with 12,000 keys on their platform. Their platform leverages Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties. Their cornerstone product is their vault product, a 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which allows you to hold 2 of 3 keys in a multi-sig quorum. That gives you full control over your Bitcoin. They also have an IRA product, a lending desk, and they're rolling out a bunch of other products, including an inheritance protocol and sound advisory. So go to unchained.com, set up a call with their concierge onboarding team today, tell them that TFTC sent you, and use the promo code TFTC at checkout. Unchained.com.
One thing I've been trying to focus on is like diving. I've been really focused on like the geopolitical and the game theory, the game theory of like adoption by institutions, nation states, and the last couple months. It's like, all right, let's get back to basics. Well, how did this 100%. Newsletter start? How did this podcast start? It was literally talking to people building the technology that was going to enable us to leverage Bitcoin and in a way that we want to. So it seems like Mutiny, Fetty, Zaprite, like, really diving into what they're doing, the Chaumium Mint explosion that's happening on top of Bitcoin, like diving into those different protocols and the products being built rapidly, quickly, seeing Noster begin to flourish. It's, there's a lot of hope there.
100%. I mean, look, nation state adoption, corporate balance sheet, getting on a Bitcoin standard, those are conversations for smarter people than me. And I think eventually it happens. You know, Professor Hendrickson had a really good point. Like, is nation state adoption a good thing for Bitcoin? Like, why do you want a nation to start consolidating a Bitcoin position? And I think he's right in the sense that grassroots Bitcoin adoption of freedom technology is the way to go, because educating, enabling, people touching the stove, understanding the power. If we go top down, then there's like the trust layers of, all right, I'm going to trust this third party, or I'm going to trust this ETF, I'm going to trust this, you know, merchant to manage all my Bitcoin or my treasury or my medium exchange, whatever it is. And that's why I love the community aspect. I love these small businesses. I love entrepreneurs like Drew D'Agostino, who you had on your pod. Amazing, amazing entrepreneur. Adopts Bitcoin on his balance sheet, has a great SaaS business, great cash flow business. And now he has he's empowered to make better longer-term decisions by adopting a Bitcoin standard.
I have not had him on this podcast yet, but I know Drew well. He was on a podcast down the hall, The Bitcoin Frontier, by Joe Burnett.
But it was in
great
this,
episode.
Was it? Okay, maybe there was some, maybe you clipped it, that's why, and then
Clipped it on TFTC because it was that good, but yeah. I've gotten to know Drew. We have a mutual friend who's a Bitcoiner, has been for a while. But let's tell the story like Crystal. Like, it's just a small SaaS company, and Drew, the founder, has become a Bitcoiner, and he is an example of the game theory that Bitcoiners have talked about for many years now playing out, where he does not have Bitcoin implemented into his product, but he recognizes as a small business.
Totally.
If I want to not dilute myself by going and raising a bunch of VC capital, I need to extend my runway by adopting a better treasury asset on my small business balance sheet.
You nailed it. I mean, the guy is so smart, so humble, so caring, and now he's got this tool. Bitcoin, at the end of the day, in my opinion, it's just a tool. A tool for a company CEO to preserve their future purchasing power better than any other investable asset. And now he can make better long-term decisions. He can make better hiring decisions. He can do so many better things about his business, and also frees him up so much time to then potentially hire better people to run the business. And I think as we get fixated on AI, new technologies, Bitcoin-enabled companies, I think there's a massive opportunity in these small businesses, especially the blue collar type businesses, where a lot of them don't have an inheritance or a hand-me-down plan, because their kids are like, you know, working at Google or doing some other Joker stuff. And to take over those businesses, adopt like the Drew playbook, you know, operate on a Bitcoin standard, maintain cash flow, maintain a good LTV, good CAC, and do all the business terms and blah, blah, blah. And it just be like amazing. And that's where this next act I'm thinking through a lot more is the Bitcoin Park is still a project in its infancy. And we've been actually June 1, which is today's the 29th, and 2 days will be our 2-year anniversary.
Oh, congrats.
Which is freaking wild to even think about. By the way, fun fact, Logan, fun fact, you ready for this? State of Tennessee's birthday, June 1 as well.
What year?
Logan, what year? Come on. Is he swiping left and right?
Yeah, are you on Bumble over there, dude?
It's going to be hot. You see, I went from 0 podcasts and now I'm going to be doing 3 podcasts. I do the, Pod 256 with Eco.
1796.
There we go. 1796. 1796 up to 2022. And then Bitcoin Park started in June 1 of 2022.
And 226 years. That's all it took.
Did he get the math right, Logan?
I think I did.
I don't know what number you just said.
226.
You got a computer in front of you if you need to use it.
I'm just basing it on my birthday and then adding years.
But with the park, I kind of lost my train of thought. We got the
you Pod 256 Builders of Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's only the one with the monthly Bitcoin brainstorm with Kathy Wood. I mean, which is kind of, you're going to have Kathy.
How did I not mention that to begin?
Yeah, that's, it's wild. It's been so much fun doing that one.
How did that come about?
Yassine's a friend, and we've been talking about for like a long time, figuring out ways that we can just work together. And then it was his idea. I mean, he finally was like, look, let's just do a podcast. How about that? We'll do a podcast. You create it and curate the guest list. Use me as much as you want to use me or don't use me at all. And then he's like, we'll produce it and distribute it. You know, they got incredible reach. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And then the first podcast we did, and I was like, all right, you know, Kathy's cool and she's great. She's really engaging, but she's probably going to just do this one time and then, you know, go on about her day because she's really, she's been on every single podcast, and I know now she's like looks forward to it every single month, and it's been really, really cool. So every month I'm like texting them, I'm like, here's the topic I'm thinking about, whether it relates to the monthly topic at Bitcoin Park. Cause that's what I did. I was like, all right, I don't want to create even more work for myself. Every month we do a different topic at Bitcoin Park for our monthly meetup. We bring guests. I kind of do the same topic for the monthly brainstorm, and then I'll invite other guests to come on and so on. And I mean, it's dope. I mean, I've had, you know, people from like Rockstar Dev to Luke Dasher to Maulers to Preston to, I mean, the list goes on of just awesome Bitcoiners on that show. And they were kind enough. They created their own Bitcoin brainstorm playlist amongst their huge YouTube channel. So you can just go to that channel and subscribe to it. They allow us to take the content and put it on the Bitcoin Park feed. So if you're listening on the podcast, you can just subscribe to the Bitcoin Park podcast feed. And I think there's going to be some, them being closer to the Bitcoiners that are building and developing in this space, I think is a great thing for them. And I think they're going to do some really interesting stuff in the future.
What is your favorite conversation that you've had on that show?
Oh man, it's like choosing my favorite kid. Okay, I have one. No, I'm just joking. The AI conversation with Paul Itoy and
He's a killer.
Killer. And Cody Lowe, and we had a number of other guests on there. And just Paul's such a big brain. And you can tell, go and watch that episode and look at Kathy and her colleague, I forget the gentleman's name. They're like, it's opening up new potentials, especially with what their AI thesis and perspective, especially on agents and such. And Paul is just the potential use cases of combining AI agents and Bitcoin. It's going to hit us like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
That one was great. The first one with Maulers and Obi and Preston and Harry, that was phenomenal. We did one with on custody, which was really cool. We did one on FOSS development. We had Steve Myers from the BDK Foundation on, Mike Schmidt from Brink. Just if you go to that playlist, if you don't mind, go and look at the topics. And I'm pretty proud of the way we've curated those topics and the guests that we've had on. Tony from Mutiny has been on when we're talking about layer twos, even though now I don't like saying layer twos, but
L2s, man. It's hot.
Is it L2 season or something? I don't know. God, that was bastardized, but that's been really fun because that's like a world that I'm not, as familiar with, like the institutional side of finance and Bitcoin. I'm more on the super individual grassroots community side. So it's kind of weird when I'm like, oh yeah, me and Econo Alchemist do this Pod 256 plebish mining focused mining podcast. And I'm like, oh yeah, and my other co-host here is Kathy Wood on the Bitcoin Brainstorm. They're like, who are you? I'm like, I don't even know who I am.
It's called breadth in the industry.
That's right. That's right. But no, Yassine Almandra, who's a legend, who's a mutual friend of ours.
Yassine's a king.
All credit goes to him. He's the man.
Yeah. And that, I mean, to that point too, since you're doing the Brainstorm and Pod 256, like, I think you have a unique perspective on how this all interplays with each other, the grassroots, pleb miners, individuals looking to secure their wealth, and then the institutions. And that's obviously a hot topic in the space, particularly over the last year, which is, oh, the institutions are here. Like, are they going to corrupt Bitcoin? Like, should we tell people not to interact with them? What is your view on how all this is going to play together?
I keep going back to time preference and I keep thinking about my kids. I'm like, short term, if I just wanted my bags packed and number go up, I'd be full throated endorsing all nation state adoption, corporate adoption, balance sheets, ETFs, everything. You'd see me tweeting about like political donations, like all, the whole nine yards. In my opinion, again, this is my opinion. I don't know if I'm right or not. That's just not the winning move. The winning move is if you give up the community and give up the ethos of what the freedom technology that Bitcoin allows for all of humanity, there's a solution where Bitcoin does not, or there's a scenario where Bitcoin does not win, in the sense that if corporate adoption or institutional adoption becomes the majority of the way we use Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is like, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million dollars a coin, and we can barely use it to send to anybody we permissionlessly want to. That is not, even though my life would be awesome, I'm not sure about my kids' life, my grandkids' life. So I do think it's of immense importance to not throw the baby out with the bathwater in terms of just trying to get this number to go up so fast and drive insane. I think we need to also figure out what our definition of adoption is. Is corporate balance sheet adoption through a third party like Coinbase adoption of Bitcoin? Or is it, you know, folks setting up, I just don't have enough time to like study all the different implementations, but from like eCash to Fetty to what Mutiny and those guys are building. Is it better to go hand to hand and build up from the individuals in the communities? I'm betting with my time, capital, and reputation on the latter, and helping build Bitcoin Park, helping these other communities across the world flourish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something I've been reflecting on a lot too. And I always fall back to, it's a permissionless system. People can do what they want with it, including the institutions. And to your point, I said this I was on the Mike and Coffee podcast a couple of weeks ago, and that's my biggest worry, is that what you just described, everybody's like, yeah, our bags are getting pumped, numbers going up, everything's great. But while that's happening, they're like, you guys can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Don't worry. It's in your best interest that we don't send it to those OFAC addresses. Yeah. Or we're going to just do a little bit of this filtering here for you guys. It's in your best interest. Do you want your number to go from what is, or it is like, you know, $65,000 to $650,000? Again, I want the number to go up too. Do not get me wrong. I'm not trying to be some altruistic, you know, whatever. But I do believe that number is just eventually going to get there. And then I want to figure out the best path to get there. Yeah. And I think we all need to think more critically about the, going all the way back to the beginning of the pod, all the small decisions that we're making now and how they compound. Are they good, positive decisions that compound in the best interests of, you know, you, your family, community, and the world? Or are they slightly negative, potentially evil decisions that we're making now that can compound in a negative manner for you, your family, your community, and the world? And I think very critically about that.
And I think it's important to realize too that these are all social aspects. Like, it's really a mindset and a will to fight to defend the rights to use Bitcoin this way to enable our children and grandchildren ultimately to have the ability to use Bitcoin this way. And that comes down to messaging and positioning, framing. And I agree with you. Like, that is the disconcerting thing about all this political pandering that's been going on in recent months is like, it's like, I mean, the text I got this morning was just like, oh God, like, in the group of people, I won't name names, but and not in Bitcoin, like in crypto. Like,
yeah. This is their first time. And again, I want to preface this by saying, like, I don't know what I'm, these are my opinions and I 100% be wrong. And I think this is where I hope to spend my actions and such. This is also, in their defense, probably the first time where they have the audience of these people or their ear. So they're like, when the lights are on, and they're really bright and they got the attention of this person, it's like, you know, and they just say whatever comes to mind. And then the other side is like, okay, cool, we can do that. But you know how the system works, right? You got to do this, this, and this. And they're like, okay, no problem. Yes, sir. And then you realize quickly, you're like, wait, you're playing their game rather than changing the game that's already kind of corrupted and in the self-interest of a minority. And I think that's where I hope we can do something different, especially whether it's leveraging Bitcoin Park and these other communities globally to say, we've got the community. If you lose the community, you lose everything. And if we have the community locally and potentially globally behind us, and we're continuing to go on about our life, and then they want to participate in being involved, more power to them.
Yeah. It's tough. I could see it. Like, I have the little Rodolfo on my shoulder. Like, no.
Oh, I thought you were showing me your guns for a second.
I don't see it. You're allowed to concealed carry in the comments. Unfortunately, I'm not concealing right now.
Logan, you take a picture of that so that you can get that as a clip.
But
but quick tangent, those are the shots, Logan, where he goes from 300. How many followers do you have on Twitter? Like 200, 300,000?
200.
Damn. That's another soundboard where you hit, damn. That's where for the, what do you call it, thumbnails? You just put that out there and he goes from 200 to 300. No big deal.
Here's how you get Jack talking about Bitcoin.
Do push-ups and just like flex your muscles.
I was pointing to my shoulder. I got MBK on my shoulder right now saying, no, we need Bitcoin to go up and then we have to play the game. And I can see that view. And I'm almost like,
Yeah, I don't think we have to play their game, to be honest with you. I think the game, I think we can play within the game for sure, but we don't have to play. Yeah.
Well, that's going back to like messaging framing. I think, again, white pill, we're going to win. Bitcoiners, show some self-respect. We have the best memers in the game.
I know.
We've done a pretty good job.
Bitstein's killing it, by the way. The guy is like throwing bombs left and right. I'm like, maybe the Twitter algo, for some reason, I haven't been seeing his tweets, but now I'm just seeing all of his tweets. I'm like, just king, king, king. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. He's firing left and right.
But like at the end of the day, this is really winning hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And the worry I have is that some people have become convinced that the only vehicles through which we can win hearts and minds is by politicians.
No.
Proclaiming to the people that vote them in, like, this is what we're going to do. You voted for me. Here's my pitch to you to win your heart and mind about Bitcoin. I don't think that's the case either. I think we can route around that and just go directly to the hearts and minds and win them.
Yeah.
With good messaging, good framing.
And the best money.
And the best money. Yeah, we have the truth on our side.
We do. With the truth for the commoner.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that tagline.
Quick break here, freaks. This rip is brought to you by Gradually Then Suddenly, a framework for understanding Bitcoin as money by Parker Lewis. I wrote the foreword to the book. I'm honored to have done so because it's the best 0-to-1 primer if you're looking for a logical explanation of why Bitcoin obsoletes all other money. Buy one for yourself and maybe a few for your friends. Go to thesafehouse.com/gradually. That's thesafehouse.com, safe spelled S-A-I-F, thesafehouse.com/gradually. Use the promo code TFTC for $5 off at checkout. Buy it now, freaks. The price of Bitcoin is going up. You need to understand it. This is the best 0-to-1 primer. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Zaprite. If you're a Bitcoiner and run a business or an independent contractor, you should be accepting Bitcoin as payment. If not you, then who? If we believe that fiat is systemically fragile and is a risk, the rails that currency runs on are a risk as well. You need to begin accepting Bitcoin as soon as possible. Invest in the future of your business. Create a redundant rail by accepting Bitcoin as payment using Zaprite and reduce risk for your business. I've done this for my business. Here at TFTC, we use Zaprite. It allows you to easily create invoices, payment links, or connect e-commerce stores, connect your wallets or custodial accounts, and be set up in minutes. We can also connect our bank accounts, our Stripe accounts, or Square accounts to accept fiat as well. The time is now, freaks. The fiat system is fragile. Invest in the infrastructure that de-risks the future. Invest in yourself. Bitcoin payments with Zaprite. Go to Zaprite.com/TFTC to get $40 off their annual subscription. Zaprite.com/TFTC, $40 off.
It's hard though, because it is, like, again, in the moment, similar to like in the moment when you're doom scrolling and filled into the vitriol, in the moment we're like, all right, you want to see at the table? It's like, come on.
All right. So the doom scrolling, you brought that up 2 or 3 times now. Have you stopped doom scrolling? For the most part?
I've tried to, yes.
Okay.
And that's pro manipulating tips. The algo.
Yeah. So you gotta, so what's worked for me, at least, I've turned off all notifications because I used to be like,
I have notifications.
But like literally the feature on, and this is not a new feature, but the summary view of like just organizing all your notifications in a morning and an evening view. So I'll get one, not like in the first thing in the morning, but like at, I don't know, 8 or 9, I'll get like all my notifications. I'm like, okay, I respond to this, blah, blah. And then it's helped me just move out all the bullshit that just, because there's so much stuff that just context switching and just takes away from my mental energy. When something like, you know, I see Marty flexing his muscle because Logan tweeted it out and I'm like, well, my day is gone. Now I got to get my, you know, I got to do 1,000 pushups just to compete with him. Just get off the doom scrolling, reduce the notifications to 0 has been such a good life hack for me.
I need to adopt that summary. Notification.
It's so good.
And that's, I actually saw a clip of this on Twitter, ironically, the other day.
I was scrolling through Twitter and I ironically saw this clip.
But it was, and I suffer from this problem a lot. And so if you're listening and you're one of the people that is, who has been affected by me suffering from this problem, I apologize. But you get decision paralysis when you get text, emails, yep. Signal messages, Telegram messages, Twitter DMs, and for me personally, I'm like, holy fuck, there's just like too much to respond to. Then you just like sort of like push it down. Like, I'll get to it later. And then you forget.
So here's another app that I use and it's kind of still shit, but it actually works for the most part. It's called text.com. It's a unified messaging app. They're definitely probably reading all my messages and so on. You know, not probably the best privacy centric tool out there. but at least from my Signal, Telegram, Twitter DMs. Telegram, all in one unified dashboard. So I'll time block like around 2 to 4 PM and I'll just be like, all right, catching up on, it looks like call it my shutdown routine for the day. Like all my messages that I got to catch up on. Like not many of my stuff is time sensitive, whereas yours may be more time sensitive. So you got to respond to the folks. The, but my, I'm the left side of, I'm 100% on the left side of the bell curve when it comes to like smarts. If there's a notification that comes up, I will switch whatever I'm doing and just give it my complete and undivided attention and it'll fuck me up for the whole day. And so I try to do these time blocks where I'm like, all right, this is the mindset for getting, responding back to all these people, getting back to these people, responding to email, cleaning that up, and then figuring out what I want to do for the rest of the day or next day.
Yeah. And when you think about it, what this guy in the Twitter video was proclaiming is that the course of human history, like people have this decision paralysis because we've never had the ability to just reach out and contact anybody for most of human history. Like literally even like till the 90s, arguably, like you'd have to be by a landline to physically, or if you had a beeper or a cell phone,
or so much coordination to even like communicate. So,
and now we live in this age where it's like anybody can reach out. Like not even people that you know, people that you don't know, just like be like, oh, I need your attention. You're like, oh, what the fuck? And trying to react to that. Like it literally have not chemically evolved to take in all this contact.
Dude, totally.
Yeah.
There's just so many good hacks. Like you've built amazing businesses. Now the next thing I would say, or at least what's worked for me, is how do you get more leverage such that you increase your time for more thinking and more really strategic thinking of how to best utilize that time. You got two young, beautiful kids. There's a stat that's on my phone. I don't know where my phone is, but 75% of the time you'll spend with your kids is over by the time they're 12. And then 90% of the time you're going to spend with your kids is over by they're 18. And I'm like, all right, it sucks that I had kids kind of later in life, but I'm so dang thankful that I now have these kids and have this mindset, because my non-negotiables are like my morning 2 hours with the kids, take them to school, now take them to camp, breakfast, morning routine, and so on. By the way, I'm a great morning dad. I need to be a better nighttime dad, because I'm like, kids, 7 o'clock, daddy tired. Nighttime, time to go to fucking sleep. You know, I'm like freaking laying the hammer down. But yeah, I mean, like, what's the line? Like, the days are long, but the years are short. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go like this, Marty. We'll hopefully be on a pod in 15, 16 years. And we'll be like, dude, it went by so fucking fast.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. We had our first epic wipeout on the scooter over the weekend. Their oldest. I've been really wanting to skateboard, surf. Get into all that stuff, and for us it's starting with the scooter, and we've been doing weekend scooters around Lady Bird Lakes, 4 miles. It's a lot of scootering for him.
Oh, cool.
When you go over Lamar Street walking bridge, there's like a downward loop-de-loop that you can go down, and this was the second time we'd done it. The first time I like had my hand on his shoulder making sure he wasn't going too fast. This time he's like, Dad, I don't want you to touch me. Like, I'm gonna send it. And send it.
Let's go.
Over the handlebars, like scraped up. But
hey, that's actually okay.
No, it was a great teaching moment. Yeah. It's like, hey, buddy.
Skin knees are good.
This is what happens. You're going to take risk. And I mean, I said it in a more rudimentary way. But I was like, yeah, you're going to go fast and you're going to fall. And it's going to hurt.
Right back up.
But you're going to be fine. He got back up. He cried for like 20 seconds. And I was like, you're fine.
I know, like, what's the line I say with our, like, when our kids fall down? What do we do? Get right back up.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all mindset with these kids. They're so amazing. It's all in their mind. If you put in fear or doubt in their mind, they're going to take it like 100x. But if you put in incept them with positivity or enthusiasm, they're like, I can do that. Can do that. Yeah.
No, and especially when they eat shit on a scooter, it's just like, do not be like, oh my God, are you okay? It's like, oh, you're fine, dude.
Get exactly. 100%. I love it.
Just a little blood. Never hurt anybody.
No. Logan, you skateboard? No.
Logan's a swing dancer.
Are you a swing dancer?
I am. I did a pop shove it one time.
You did a what?
I did a pop shove it one time. That's my extent of skating.
That's a good move. I was a big reverse pop shove it guy back in the day. Onto the board. Into a nollie.
Whoa. Okay. I'm not going to act like I know what the fuck you guys are talking about, but it sounds cool.
Yeah. That's it's important stuff. Low time preference. Focusing on the good things. What are you most excited about in Bitcoin right now? In terms of like areas that people should be focusing on that maybe they're overlooking.
That point around Drew, what were we talking about? Like these small businesses and even large businesses, like one other publicly traded company came out and said they're holding a boatload of Bitcoin on there, or they bought a bunch of Bitcoin and now holding on as a treasury asset. The benefit there, it gives the air coverage and also more marketing to small businesses. Like you could be the small business owner and you may have a stock, a position in one of these companies. Like, wait a minute, you're holding Bitcoin? Let me go research that now. Oh, maybe I should go do that as well for my small business. So that's kind of cool. I'm enamored by entrepreneurship. I think it's one of the coolest people I've associated myself with and learned from are entrepreneurs, and be able to say no to very quote unquote stable jobs and stable money and a cush life to say, I'm going to throw all that out and go roll the dice to go and create something net new. That's, you know, I think valuable for the community and society, and I'll get paid for it. I think that's just so awesome. And I think there's so many opportunities for Bitcoin focused people to become entrepreneurs. So, and I think there'll be some things in 2025 at the park that we'll be, you know, doing to support those efforts, which could be massive.
Oh yeah. What would your advice be to aspiring entrepreneurs out there?
Start like today. Today is tomorrow. Literally, you got this. Today is tomorrow. You can do this. Do the side hustle. Work the weekends. Figure out, you have the time. So like you are waking up 5:30, 6:30 with the kids waking up, right? So let's say you're like Marty, you have two kids and so on. But Marty's already got five businesses running. So he's earned the right to figure out his own schedule. You need to create more time and more leverage of your time for you. So start waking up at 4:30 and before the kids get up. Give yourself the 2 hours between 4:30 and 6:30 and sacrifice that time such that you can go and, you know, do X, Y, or Z. And even 1 hour a day, five days a week, that's 20 hours a month. It's almost a full day dedicated towards this entrepreneurial endeavor. And one of the big things, you know, don't quit your day job, but just create the time to do this. And then figure out how to be cash flow positive from like day zero. Like, and then all of a sudden cash flow is the most amazing drug, in the sense that once you see the cash flow coming in, you're like, holy shit. Well, if I turn this knob a little bit or I do this, there's more of this comes out. Oh, this is really interesting. Wait a minute. I really enjoy, by the way, the stuff that I'm doing right now gives me a lot of energy. I'm really excited now to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to do this project. So if all that starts happening, then all of a sudden you have leverage over your current employer. Maybe you still enjoy it and you should still do it. But let's say you don't like to do the TPS reports. Maybe you don't like to get on the planes, you know, and fly wherever you need to go to because someone's telling you you need to do that or whatever. And now all of a sudden you just create a leverage for yourself and your family. And, but it starts with you at the end of the day. You need to make the time. But the TLDR is, you can do this. Start today.
Yeah. Side hustles. That's how all this started.
Yeah. That's right.
And it's just say, I'm unemployed. It wasn't really a side hustle. It was a main hustle. Who am I lying to? It was, my back was against the wall. It was like, people want to learn about Bitcoin. I know about Bitcoin. Let me put my thoughts out there. And then here we are today.
That's so amazing. And look, like a lot of things in life, luck plays a good role. but the harder you work, the luckier you become. I think that's like a Thomas Jefferson quote. And then also finding whatever you're passionate about. Like Logan's got the number one swing dancing ball blog out there in the world, you know, and the guy's like talking about swing dancing all day long. And you never know what can happen, whether it's super niche. I actually kind of like the super niche stuff because there's so much potential with super niche stuff to build defensible businesses around that because nobody wants to play in your moat. Like I'm never going to go into the swing dance. Maybe I will. Is it a good business? Swing dancing? Kind
of. I'm unfamiliar with any business side of it.
There you go. I think there's so many opportunities. And it, what's the Kevin Kelly book, The 1,000 True Fans? It, in today's day and age, to the point you made earlier, Marty, like everyone can get in touch with, well, not everybody, but the ability to get in touch with people is so easy to communicate. Marketing is so easy today with all the platforms out there to be able to build a brand, to be able to build distribution mechanisms. The ideas are pretty cheap to experiment and not lose, you know, everything. You can just iterate. But at the end of the day, you just need the will. And it's at the, nobody's the fault other than you just to do it.
The barrier to entry has never been lower.
100%.
And the tools now have never been more powerful to provide you bigger leverage. I mean, you were texting me last week and telling me before we hit record, but being smart and leveraging tools and services to give yourself more time.
100%.
We do it here at TFTC right now, leveraging AI tools to put more content on the website, turn audio video content into written content, then link back to it, which is, been somewhat successful to date. But you're talking on the admin side too, because that's one thing I need to get better at as a business operator of this company specifically is the admin side.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the biggest unlock in the last 9-ish months, almost a year, has been just hiring one of these virtual assistants and training it. But even taking a step back, it's like, all right, you have all your to-do. If you're like me, your to-do list just gets longer and longer and longer. And then there's stuff that's like deep, fun, really important work that's important, not urgent. I think this was like Dwight D. Eisenhower, by the way. It's like important, urgent, like the Eisenhower matrix, maybe. I'll have to fact check me on this, but it's like important, not urgent. Urgent, not important, not important, not urgent. And there's just so much stuff in the, even those other three quadrants that just need to be done and move forward that you can delegate to, you know, your team, whether it's a amazing podcast producer like Logan, to a virtual assistant to take care of, to other from bookkeeping standpoint. A lot of entrepreneurs, they don't, including myself until like the last couple of years, I just be like, I can do that. I can send that invoice. I can do this. I can, all these little things. I still take a lot of pride in understanding the process and making sure I'm in the details, but being able to free up my time where a 30-minute task that needs to, let's say an hour task that needs to be done weekly is 4 hours a month. 4 hours times 12 is 48 hours. So that 1 hour task saves me 2 days of my life. Imagine 2 days to concentrate more on your business. Imagine 2 days more time spent with your family. 2 days to start a new side hustle, right? Think through it. On that one bookkeeping month-end closing task that drains your energy. Like one of the things that I struggled with was I took on so much that a lot of the stuff was draining my energy. So then when I come home, I'd just be like so depleted. When I started my days, I'd be like, look at my like to-dos for the day and all the things I needed to get done. But I was just like, man, this is not fun. This is not giving me energy. But, after putting in these processes, really scrutinizing over the team and being like, okay, I can delegate these things where they actually really enjoy this stuff. And they do, and by the way, they do 10 to 100 times better than I do in general. And it's freed me up to be able to be like, all right, let's go start experimenting here. Let's go do this thing over there. Let's go have more of these strategic meetings and talk about bigger things that we could be doing together. So for you, I mean, you're killing it across the board. And it's like, all right, what's the next level up? If you could answer this question, if you had more time in your day, if you even had one extra hour or two extra hours, what would you do with it? What? And it's fine. Like, I now spend almost like an hour and a half a day on personal health. So I try to get to the gym at least for 1 hour doing like these HIIT classes or whatever. My push-ups in the morning. I know it's a fun joke around here, but, and then I'll try to do like the cold plunge and like all these like things. Because if I'm healthy, then I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, and I'm a better entrepreneur. So, and I'm like, that's like a one area, especially 2025. I actually want to, I'm doing it so much that now the next level up to learn even more is to teach it. So I really want to teach this with other entrepreneurs. Actually, I don't know if I told you this. I think I did, because I think I've invited you. I'm hosting these monthly entrepreneur dinners in Nashville. And it's been really cool, just to 20, 25 folks. Athena's the service that I use, and they've been phenomenal. They're definitely a higher price point, but it's the ROI has been phenomenal. And they've been kind enough to kind of sponsor these dinners. Anyways, I get these entrepreneurs together and we just jam on what is holding us up or what are the opportunities we see go forward. And then I hope a lot of Bitcoiners at the dinner, but I also try to bring in other entrepreneurs from other industry. And then all of a sudden then cross-pollinate these different ideas. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think for me, again, this started out as a main hustle. It should have been a side hustle, but I was unemployed. I think for me, like, I did everything myself for so long. Like, that was like before Logan, we had car. You know, like, it was really weird for me handing off like the editing and producing to car and now Logan.
Now think about it right now with that, right? You're able to do, you had another gentleman on earlier today. You have me now, and then Kathy Wood's about to come in, and I've not even felt 1 second. You've given me your complete and undivided attention here, where other people would be like, oh man, I got to get this podcast done. I got to do like 30 minutes of work, post this, then I got to go do this. And then I got to be ready for this interview or this podcast. And then I got to go do that. All of a sudden, if you delegate a lot of that work out, it frees you up to be more present in the stuff that is really, really important. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's like that, the books, scheduling.
Yep.
That's one thing I still haven't handed over, is like scheduling guests for the podcast. I still do that. That's still hand-to-hand combat. And there is an art to that, like reaching out and doing that. But that's like one thing. If I don't have the time of the day to focus on scheduling, like the schedule is hindered by that. And so it's like,
so the two things, I would say, and by the way, my volume of podcasts and also sophistication and brand is like 100x smaller than yours. So take this, whatever I'm saying, with a grain of salt, but I time block only on Wednesdays as I'm doing my pod 256 between 2 and 4 PM. Brainstorm for the most part, we only do in the afternoons on Tuesdays or Thursdays of every month, so that I can like mentally, again, I'm like Pavlov's dog. You know, ring bell, I like salivate. It's like, okay, Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, oh yeah, I should be ready and mentally into podcast mode. And like, I don't do any, or for the most part, don't do any meetings before noon. And then it's so like, I'm just like slowly training my freaking monkey brain to be more mentally ready around these areas. So from the, on the scheduling and the booking side, just being able to be like, all right, here are my recording blocks. And then you just look on your calendar. I use this tool called AccuFlow, where time blocking has been a game changer for me. So I can time block all these things. And I can look out in my calendar and be like, all right, cool. These are my podcasts. I don't have any things going on in these podcasts. Let me go reach out to these folks like a month out. And then I have the task. I do that. And then everything is kind of lined up. there. Or you delegate that and you say, hey, here's some templates to use. Or, you know, you just keep doing it yourself because you find energy in that and you enjoy doing that because there's like a little bit of a art knowing the people and kind of the, some of the topics you want to talk about, which I think is totally fine.
Yeah. No, but it is, I'm excited to talk about this with you now and then after we record too, because that's one thing I need to figure out is how to create more time. I'm notoriously disorganized. It's one thing I write in my journal every time I write it. It's like, get more organized, please.
So like when people say that, I totally, you think you're disorganized, but I guarantee you're not. I think you have so much ambition and so many ideas such that you're doing, and then you feel like you're unorganized, but you're really not. It's just like setting some simple processes and getting the team on board, like the Logans of the world and like a VA and so on. Then all of a sudden it's like this superpower. It's unbelievable. Delegation is such an amazing superpower because you're enabling somebody to be their best self, employing them. And then all of a sudden the team's just winning and they're winning bigly. So we're now only white pilling in the world, but we're white pilling Team Marty as well. And you'll be surprised that you change your communication style as well. Like there's a lot of things that I want to just jump into. Like I've done this now for a long time that I used to be notorious for just checking my phone in conversations with people, what's going on, you know, here and there. For the most part, I'm definitely not as like that anymore. I'll do it from time to time because I'm that much of an asshole, but, you'll be surprised with yourself. I actually like that the price point on the service that I use is a little higher, but I also like it that it's month to month, so you can just cancel at any time. But it's one of those things where it's a mindset. You just got to commit to doing it, and then you got to commit to doing it for 6 months and be like, look, the pain is this, the amount of money I'm paying, and I need to get the reward out, so I'm just going to do it. And then I've set up so many SOP, the standard operating procedures. I've done all these looms to like communicate excellence and do it all. And I'll just give you my whole playbook.
Yeah. That's one thing
I got a signal group with like some other guys, like four other guys that have signed up and doing it. So like I'll share all my best practices with them and then we'll jam. Cause it helps me get better too. It's like, oh, I didn't realize you did it that way. That's so much better than the way I was doing it. Now I'm going to go implement it in my day-to-day operations.
Yeah. And I think for all the entrepreneurs listening out there, like, I think you've alluded to it, but like if you had to put like levels to like, what does this unlock for the entrepreneurs, the teams building out here, like focus on Bitcoin entrepreneurs building in the space.
Think about like when you're hiring, I get, this may not come off the right way, but I don't like to hire people. Meaning like, I like to hire unicorns. Like Josh at Bitcoin Park is a unicorn. He can do so much, across the park. He's a no brainer that we want to work with and work with for a long time. And I get at different businesses, you got to hire and figure it out and so on, and different scales, and you got to build sales teams, marketing teams, all this other stuff. But you'd be surprised just starting with a small team and having just one of these virtual assistants to handle podcasting coordination, editing, those AI tools, the scheduling to a degree, you can still do it. But like, you know, there's a laundry list of stuff that you can leverage, even personal stuff that you're between you and your wife that you're like, oh man, I know my wife wants me to do this and I just cannot get the energy to do this. And she's going to be really mad because I didn't do this. But you can delegate that for the most part, potentially off. And then all of a sudden you have so much leverage in your time on the business side. Then on your personal side, you have more leverage that you have like weekly date nights that, you know, you always say, oh, I need to do a weekly date night. I need to do a weekly date night. Well, now we do weekly date nights because the babysitter's coordinated. We have a list of date night activities that we're now organizing, and VA's organizing the list, even suggesting new things based on our interests that we wouldn't even thought of, like, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that on the third date night that we have planned. And then it's on our shared calendar and it's like beautifully there. And it's all of a sudden these are like energy additive activities that make me at least even be more energized going into work because I'm so excited to go on the date night or I'm so excited to go to this kid's activity because it's all there and streamlined.
Yeah. Ah, get me all bullish. What if I implement this? What could I do? It's
what do you want when the Marty Bent legacy is over? You know, what do you want when people are like, man, Marty was.
I think it's going to sound stereotypical, but I really all I care about is that the boys and any future children look up and are like, I'm proud of my dad.
Totally.
Yeah.
So if you unroll, I love that. But if you unpack all that, you need to be the time to be present with them, to be super attentive with them. And like this allows you to do that while being ambitious and be like, my dad also taught me to be an entrepreneur and a multipreneur from a media company to an like the leading investment fund to a board director. All of these things my dad taught me that like, and at the end of the day, he taught me that there's no limits on what I can imagine if I can leverage my time.
Yeah. Then externally, I hope people get value from the content. Said, hey, he helped me understand Bitcoin.
Totally.
Push me in the right direction.
Dude, I bet you get that all the time.
It happens from time to time, yeah.
Yeah. You know what's one thing that's kind of weird doing these meetups? You'll go into like the, you know, your grocery store and so on. And then like, again, I'm a nobody, but we host these meetups and like 200 plus people show up at these meetups typically. And the person is like, hey, are you at the Bitcoin meetups? And I'm like, oh, fuck. <You know? laughs> I'm like, no, man. Got the wrong guy, but no, it's fine. Life has trade-offs, but I think the Bitcoin education side, we need, that's why when the jokes are like, oh, they joke about like, we have too many Bitcoin podcasts. I actually don't believe that. I think like, if you're so passionate about doing it, you should just do a Bitcoin podcast. You should do a Bitcoin 101. You should do whatever you think is the best. Don't let anyone tell you no. And just do it and see what happens. And we'll start with one person, 10 people, 100 people. Who knows?
No. And somebody who's been podcasting about Bitcoin for 7 years, I welcome it. Iron sharpens iron. Keep me sharp. Start that podcast.
Totally. I know it's... yeah, and there's just so many ideas. And that's where I do, I did kind of start and then stop the builders in Bitcoin, but this builders in, I want to expand it to more entrepreneurial focused. That's a little bit outside of Bitcoin, but has the Bitcoin essence involved in it, if that makes sense. So it's like telling these entrepreneurial stories, but like telling the really minutiae details about like, how do you organize your day, Marty? What, like when you look back on your bank, how do you look at your bank accounts? Like how do you manage your money of your business? Why have you adopted and thought about Bitcoin as like the treasury asset? Okay, cool. You have obviously. How do you even think about managing your Bitcoin on your balance sheet? Like, do you think about how do you evaluate investment opportunities as it relates to your business when Bitcoin's ripping? And you're like, I could start a new business and cash flows, but Bitcoin just went from 60 to 600. And, you know, I don't want to sell my Bitcoin because it's about to go to 6 million. You know, like these are all, and that's why I like these dinners because you have a drink and you have like a nice meal and you can have like deeper conversations and kind of like ideate on these topics.
Yeah. And I think, again, going back to the barrier to entry is so low. That's something we focus on at 1031 too is... Number one, like how are you going to accumulate as much Bitcoin on your balance sheet? And part of doing that is thinking really strategically about your burn rate, essentially, mm-hmm. your overhead, and really forcing the question of how much can you do with how little, and trying to really help founders like hone in on that one aspect of like, and that's how I've focused, and it's because that's how I approach it at TFTC is like, how can we expand what we're doing without bringing on as much overhead as possible?
Totally. Because I think my fear is not ruining someone, because at the end of the day, you can go get employment anywhere. I truly believe that. Like, where there's a will, there's a way. But you don't ever want to promise something and then, you know, and not fulfill it in that way. That also scares me. But yeah, I am just mega, mega bullish on the future. I'm just so thankful that Bitcoin is, like, we get to work in Bitcoin every single day. I mean, how gnarly is that?
It's pretty sick.
It's pretty sick. We wake up and we do Bitcoin stuff. I mean, like,
especially particularly where both of us work at the park and here at the Commons, there is an energy, like walking out there, seeing everybody work. And I feel like it's Chica being able to go out there, talk to the Mutiny guys, the Zaprite guys, Fetty, Chris, 360 Mining, and just like, all right, what's happening on the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah. Building.
Totally.
What's happening out there?
That's why, like, when we talked back in October, so I'm not a big fan of like the mega conferences. I think they're cool just to see how big, I guess, the industry has gotten, you know? But these smaller, more intimate, highly curated summits, workshops, meetups, and also third spaces like the Commons are just so amazing. Because you never know, you know, when, like, you know, Phil Geiger walks over. I was like, oh yeah, she did. Phil, what's up, buddy? And we caught up. And then there's like a handful of other folks that you just naturally run into. Similar to a meetup, I would say, unless you're super passionate and want to be consistent about doing it, just don't start one without like a core group of people. And I can tell you all the things. I mean, like, I still cannot believe we're going to be celebrating 2 years. Like,
it happens fast.
It happens fast.
They grow up so fast.
They grow up so fast.
Businesses. Co-working spaces.
So what if you had more time, like, is there another business you would want to start? Or you just want to expand the TFTC media?
Just keep doing what we're doing here and expand, like, our integration of Bitcoin. So we launched a rewards program last week that I'm pretty excited about. And I would like to polish that, iterate on it, experiment with the incentivization within the program. But essentially, we have been doing a lot of research over the last year, Lewis and I, about the state of incumbent media, and it's pretty broken, digital media. And as you said, core audience is important, and incentivizing that core audience is important as well. And so we've used Substack and Beehive as analogs, like looking at how they are promising creators on their platforms to grow their audiences. And Substack's got the algo and the ability to subscribe to have your newsletter, your Substack advertised on other Substacks. And Beehive is really focused in on that latter use case as well. And Beehive allows you to basically advertise your Substack on other people's, your Beehive newsletter on other people's pages. And then if you get a subscriber, a paid subscriber from that publication gets like a revenue share on that. And that seems very cannibalistic to me, where somebody's reading TFTC. I think there's a lot of great content out there, but I like to think we're putting out good content. Yep. I'd like them to stay consuming our content. And so, like, this idea of putting other newsletters alongside ours and like participating in that model just doesn't make sense to me. It seems very cannibalistic at the end of the day. And so, like, with that model in mind, be like, how do we not do this model but still grow the subscriber base? We've created this TFTC rewards system, which is like TFTC, Marty's Bend specifically. It is extremely humbling to go back and like go through the list. You can see open rates, and people have been reading for 7 years now.
That's almost so awesome, at this point, man.
That have 80 to 95% open rates. Like, people open it every day, which is, again, extremely humbling and still amazes me. And so there's something there. It's like, hey, you guys are getting value out of this. And
what other value can we provide?
Yes. And so figuring out a way to grow our community at TFTC, but also incentivizing the people that are power users, power readers, to participate. It's like, obviously, if you're opening this almost every day, you must get value out of it. And so we launched a rewards program leveraging Bitcoin and Noster and Ghost basically launched and said, hey, if you guys are liking this, you're getting value out of this, and you have one person of mine, we just started one proof of concept product we wanted to test out. If you have one person of mine you think will get value out of this, to recommend them to the newsletter.
Oh, cool.
And when they join the list, if they read three newsletters, we'll send you a SATS reward and the new subscriber a SATS reward.
Oh, cool.
And the communication to the referee, the person that got referred, is like, hey, we're putting out this content. Your friend thinks it's valuable. We're really trying to highlight Signal as it pertains to Bitcoin and other areas that we're interested in. We're looking to develop a relationship with you. If you read three newsletters, we're going to send you some Bitcoin. And our hope is that over the course of you reading three newsletters, you become convinced like, hey, I want to keep reading this. And then, so that's like the first proof of concept MVP. Shout out to Austin. Now working at Voltage, founder of Pleb Devs. He built Bitcoin Link. And so basically the way this works is we've created a server that connects the Ghost API, Bitcoin Link, and then we use Nostr Wallet Connect to connect to my business Albi account that automatically disperses the rewards as people open three newsletters.
Logan, we're going to win bigly, buddy. Just, that was just a lot of alpha just dropped. Honestly, like if you're an entrepreneur out there, I'd be following Marty like none other. And just, it's, I have this technique called drafting where I get all like my really, really smart people and sometimes my really, really rich friends. I'm like, who's your doctor? Who do you have? Like, what are you doing? What tools are you using? And I'm like, okay, I can't, I try to do like 80% of what they're doing because I cannot afford 100% of what they're doing, or I don't have the time to do 100%. But I'm like, all right, there's like three things that I just took away from there that I could apply to my own. Rather than trying to recreate the wheel often, you know, you just leveraging and with your network of other like-minded entrepreneurs, and especially one of the other hacks, you need positive people in your life because entrepreneurship is just such a bleak, you know, as I think Elon said, or somebody else, it's like chewing glass and staring into the abyss and like, you know, hoping you're like right. And, but you need good people around you just to say like with your son who skinned his knees, you're all right. Come on, get up. You're okay. Hey, it's okay. You know, you went from like 200,000 OTE to now $0. You're going to be fine. You're going to figure this out. Come on. You can do this, you know, this month, next month, and the month after. That entrepreneurial community support is massive.
Yeah. So you think that's, like, we tested it out and people are using it. It's actually beautiful to see that it works.
Yeah.
Like what Austin's built for us works. And it's on autopilot now. And like, it's a cool thing to go into my Albi and see these rewards being distributed.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I'm not going to challenge you, but I'm going to say like, that's a great feature. You're doing that now. My question is like, all right, you have now more time to think about like TFTC, 1031, Kungsleden, like what's even more you can be doing? Like what, is there another whole, you know, is there another whole podcast line that you could, that you're so passionate about starting? Or is there like, man, you know, I want to level up the production here because I need to research now the next camera and all this other stuff and finally get that shift. Because going back to that question you asked me, like, what's the advice you'd give, is like today is tomorrow. So like getting that one extra camera in here and having the time to like make it work and then having the time to Logan to be able to do more, that compounds for you. And this is like the best, right? So imagine making the best better, which is cool.
Yeah. I definitely want another camera. We're talking about it. We got the shopping list. I got to pull the trigger. And then I think 1031, like, I think what we've really honed in on in the last year is that Bitcoin being this open interoperable protocol puts us in a unique position from the venture perspective where our portfolio companies can really work together. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. Zaprite Mutiny, Unchained Mempool, Strike Mutiny, Strike Primal. Like there's these synergies that exist.
That's so awesome.
Within the portfolio and outside of our portfolio as well. There's many other companies that aren't in the portfolio that are contributing to this interoperable protocol. And so really leaning into that aspect and trying to surface where these partnerships and synergies exist, something or had the potential to exist.
Totally. Just even like for an hour a day, like looking at your logo slide and being like, wow, what if this happened? Or what if that happened? Just freeing your time just to think more. I know it sounds crazy because I'm also in this mindset of just do, get through my to-do list, feel good about like checking off lists, but also just, and I have not done a shit job of this, but like I'm trying to read a lot more, like deep reading, like history and a lot of these other areas that'll help me on a number of fronts. But like, I just need a time block and find even more leverage in my day just to do that. Because like the unlock of like just two partnerships for your portfolio, and what I think you guys are on fund three or two or three. And that allows, that compounds for you, you know, down the road. And imagine like you just had the time just to think about one partnership that just 100x'd your fund return. And it's like so simple. It could be just one thing, and that those, both of those companies just like 10x their enterprise value.
Yeah.
But you need more time.
Need more time. I do need more time.
Yeah.
And then, getting back to the roots of this too. Focus on the tech and.
Yeah, man, you're killing it.
Yeah.
I think that this was awesome, man. Like I don't want to give you enough time so that you can prepare for, your next guest. I feel,
yeah, well, I mean, thank you. Yeah. I should be thanking you, for helping facilitate that. I'm really excited for the conversation.
Yeah, it'll be good.
And like I said, I'm very happy that, you're the lead up to this because you're full of energy, full of positivity, full of white pills. We're going to win.
Bigly.
Create more time for yourself. I think that's the message of this.
Totally.
This podcast. Figure out how to create more time.
If you don't, someone will take over your time and then you'll look back and like I have in the last few years and so on, and said like, where am I spending my time? This is not giving me energy and this is not the best use of my time. And what are my goals? Goals are health and family. I over-index on those on my calendar. And it, by the way, there's the line of the Munger says, Charlie Munger said, show me the incentive and I'll show you the outcome. And I forget who also said this, but like, show me your calendar and I'll show you it'll show me your priorities. So I can look at your calendar and be like, all right, yep, podcasting all day. Not like Logan, go through the checklist and ship the items that we have on our list to do, you know, a lot of these other things. And it's pretty remarkable. Even like your home screen of your iPhone, if you show me your home screen, I'll tell you like what type of person you are. If it's like Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter and so on, right when those, and then the red, I think it's still red, the notification button. Oh man, do you want me to do this right now?
Okay, let me know.
All right. So a lot of this stuff I don't even know, but okay, finance. Got that social, got to move that away. So you're business focused because you got a lot of business apps on here, which is cool. You're very into communication, like, and social media, obviously, because a lot of the communication apps are at the bottom here. You're into, and then the social apps at the top. I bet you nonchalantly go into, you know, social and then just go through that checkbox. And then you use Uber quite a bit, probably, because it's on your main screen. But
Uber, one car.
Yeah, that's right. One car. That's right. I forgot about that. But this could tell you a lot about somebody. Here, you want to do me? So this is like, I feel bad that you're not.
I mean, I don't know why GoPuff's on the front here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need this.
But I don't scroll left or right. I just go to that home.
This is much... much less chaotic than mine. Do you like Notion?
I'm not actually. I don't. I use it, and I use it a lot now because there's a lot of good things, and I could probably do more. I don't love it the way I love AccuFlow. I use Readwise's reader app quite a bit now. I do like Superhuman for email processing, but I don't process that much email, so it's probably not the best investment. Notion's just good just to collect and organize. but I'm not some like power diehard user of Notion.
Yeah. I feel like you need literal dev to set up your Notion boards. So
sometimes, but like
mess around with it. It's like, God, this is confusing.
Oh, you can copy all mine. And they're all so like basic. It's not even funny. The cool thing about Notion is around the database features. So like, for example, and I have not excelled or made this like A plus yet. It's probably like C plus, B minus. But I basically have created an intake system of content. So whether I'm on whatever app, I can hit share and then put it into Reader. And then Reader, it goes into my inbox on Readwise. Cool. And then I time block a specific time for like hour and a half to just go through my Readwise of things that I find interesting, whether they're tweet threads, long form articles, or PDFs. And then I'll go read through them, and then I'll like highlight a couple things in there that I found interesting. Cool. Then I archive it. I'm like, done. Still is my Readwise database. I can search for it, but also goes automatically into my Notion database. And then it creates a highlights database for me. One thing I want to do in 2025 is actually write longer form content. I really want to push myself to think, writing helps you think and organize your thoughts. And I suck at writing. So that's my like new habit for 2025 that I'm going to like push myself for. But having all this information organized such that I can then go in and I want to write something around, I don't know, the word success or business success or whatever. And then I can do some searches within Notion database and it pulls up all of those articles that I've highlighted and so on. I'm like, oh yeah, let me take inspiration here, here, here. And it's made my longer form piece of content so much easier to write rather than be like, oh, what was that tweet thread from? Like, I know I saw it. Did I bookmark it on Twitter? Did I save it in Readwise? It's all in like a central repository. But again, I'm not like some super fan of Notion. Yet maybe I will be in like 6 months after I've like fully implemented all this stuff.
Yeah. God, I need to get better processes, but got to start somewhere. Dude, day zero.
Start today.
Yeah.
It's
always a pleasure, sir.
Dude, this was the best. Thank you, Marty.
We're gonna have a fun day. We're gonna have a fun afternoon.
Yeah.
It's good to have you in Austin.
Heck yeah, man.
All right. Peace and love, freaks. Okay.